It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is Thursday, February 11, 2021. Topping off our news this week is COVID-19. While Craig and I try to refrain from mentioning the coronavirus because we live it every day, sometimes we can't avoid it when new research emerges.
The new findings strongly suggest that COVID-19 may negatively affect sperm quality and reduce fertility in men, according to research published in the journal Reproduction. The study indicates that COVID-19 infection can cause increased sperm cell death, inflammation, and oxidative stress, resulting in lower sperm quality and potentially reducing fertility.
These findings provided the first direct experimental evidence that a male reproductive system could be targeted and damaged by the COVID-19 and suggest that men's reproductive functions should be evaluated after infection to detect and avoid future fertility problems.
The analysis was done at 10-day intervals for a follow-up time of 60 days in 84 men with confirmed COVID-19 and 105 age-matched healthy controls. A urology expert determined that all the men were fertile. In men with COVID-19, markers of inflammation and oxidative stress in sperm cells were significantly increased by more than 100% compared to the age-matched healthy controls. The pathways that facilitated sperm cell death were activated and sperm concentrations reduced by 516%, mobility by 209%, and sperm cell shape altered by 400%.
More extensive studies with longer follow-up are necessary to validate the conclusion of the study to determine precisely how COVID-19 affects reproduction and fertility in men. Craig and I will continue to follow this new development and report any new findings to you.
It's really scary, though,
I know,
since our future generations are all dependent on sperm count as well as eggs. But, I mean, you're taking one part and damaging it. That could have consequences.
They're finding a lot of things getting damaged from it.
Yeah. Well, we also know that in total, Americans are drinking much more during COVID-19 pandemic. New research suggests that alcohol consumption in the United States rose 14% during the pandemic shutdowns. I also know that Joe and I started drinking too much and have since the last 4 months curbed our alcohol consumption. We never drank enough to have a hangover, though, but I think when we go back to a bar and they pour me a drink, I'm going to be like, where's the liquor?
That's what I keep saying, you know. We're used to pouring the bottle, blah, 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 blah.
Well, because the first time I poured it and I looked at it, I was like, well, that's not enough. It needs a little more.
Well, that's the problem. Everybody just free poured, and now if they go to a bar and they start measuring one shot or a shot and a half, they're not going to like their drink.
All the customers are going to be very unhappy.
Still, though, right, daily alcohol intake is not good for our body, just in general.
No, it's not. Not at all. And it does have consequences on your organs and stuff. So curbing your alcohol, everybody, is beneficial to you. Now, moving on to our next topic, we do have news from GM, Joe. You said something before?
Yes, hydrogen. In theory, it's a perfect fuel. Run it through a fuel cell, and you will get electricity, water, vapor, and heat. How much more earth-friendly can we get?
Okay, so now I know there's a theory and then there's reality. Starting with where one gets the hydrogen in the first place, I mean, it is one of the most abundant elements on Earth. Every molecule of water has two hydrogen atoms, and there is a lot of water in the world. Then there's a whole universe of hydrocarbons from gasoline and plastics. By definition, there are hydrogen atoms in all of that, and that's the problem. Hydrogen is so reactive, it bonds with, like, literally everything. So getting pure hydrogen means breaking the chemical bonds that bind it to other elements, keeping it sequestered in, like, a pure state through a whole conundrum of issues. So, Joe, what is GM's plan for this fuel cell, since it's so complicated?
Well, General Motors in partnership with Navistar, says it will focus on fuel cells for long-haul trucks. According to reports, they will include a tie-in with companies called 1H2 to produce hydrogen and control the storage, delivery, and design systems.
Okay, so it's not GM that's actually doing the production of the hydrogen. No. But it's still a lot of investment, and I know many companies are setting the stage. So who will be using the technology? J.B. Hunt is one of the largest trucking companies in America, will begin using the fuel cell-powered trucks and the associated hydrogen refueling systems at the end of 2022. The first production trucks are expected to be available for sale in 2024. General Motors will supply its hydraulic fuel cell power cubes to Navistar for using in its production model for fuel cell electric vehicles, the International RHTM series. This is a lot sooner than I initially thought. It seems like a smart move to work on long-hauling trucks first, since they are on the roads for a long time. But did they mention anything about how many miles a fuel cell will give the trucks, Joe?
Yes, the fuel cell trucks have a range of 500 miles. But what makes it really good, according to the companies, Craig, the trucks can be refueled in 15 minutes.
Interesting. If battery electric vehicles have an Achilles heel, they take longer to recharge than fill a typical gas tank. So a fuel cell sounds so much better. But as we discussed last week, new technologies are on the horizon, which may significantly reduce charging times in electric vehicles, particularly from the Israeli company StoreDot.
It is important to note that GM is a trusted partner on the industrial side. Navistar selected GM to collaborate on the fuel cell technology due to its global leadership in this area. GM has previously partnered with the U.S. Army, Honda, and France Aerospace, among other companies.
Hydrogen fuel cells are cleaner and more efficient than traditional combustion engines and power plants. I wonder if investing in hydrogen companies is a worthy venture at this point. I don't know. I'm just saying, I always come up late on this. Anyway, it's time for a short break. We'll be right back.
Our national forests. We cherish their beauty. We marvel at their majesty. We embrace their heritage. But do you know how much we depend on our national forests? For clean air, wood for our homes, and drinking water for millions of Americans. So much depends on our national forests, but now they're depending on us. Trees have been devastated by insects, disease, and fires that burn so hot, even the seeds of future forests are destroyed. The Arbor Day Foundation asks for your help in replanting our national forests. Because so much depends on what we do today. So much beauty, so much life, so much that we hold dear. We must act now so that future generations can also depend on our national forests. Visit ArborDay.org. See what we're doing.
Welcome back. Anybody with an iPhone may have a new feature that was installed recently. Craig will tell us what the security feature is.
Apparently, Apple quietly added a new iMessage security feature in iOS 14 called Blast Door. Blast Door is a new sandbox inside iMessage that receives and sanitizes all iMessage content before it's shown to the user.
I like the name Blast Door. Why did they add this feature?
The security feature will prevent attacks via iMessage that might include malicious code for spying on iPhones. One of the most important apps on any phone, regardless of the model or operating system, is the messaging app. The chances are that most people use a collection of texting apps to keep in touch with family and friends. These apps have grown to be highly sophisticated over the years, offering a collection of advanced features to improve the chat experience.
Whether it's iMessage on an iPhone, Google Message on an Android, or WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, and many others, these apps offer essentially the same features.
Right. Many protect chats with end-to-end encryption, and most of them support rich texting features, file sharing, emojis, voice messaging, voice calling, and integration with many other apps. But because texting is so popular on smartphones, it's also a great gateway for hackers who come up with all sorts of malicious attacks that can spread via chat apps.
I can see this as an important feature. maybe not as important as our next topic, Craig, regarding 3D printing.
Yeah, this one's really cool. So those that aren't quite familiar with 3D printing, this can refer to a variety of processes which material is deposited, joined, or solidified under computer control to create a three-dimensional object, with the material being added together, such as liquids or powder grains being fused together, typically by layer by layer. In the 1980s, 3D printing techniques were considered suitable only for the production of functional or rapid prototyping. As of 2019, the precision, repeatability, and material range of 3D printing has increased to the point where some 3D printing processes are considered viable as an industrial production technology. One of the key advantages of 3D printing is the ability to produce very complex shapes or geometrics that would be otherwise impossible to construct by hand, including hollow parts or parts with internal trusses, structures to reduce weight.
The term 3D bioprinting refers to the use of 3D printing technology to fabricate biomedical parts that eventually could be used to create replacement organs or other body parts as required. While we are not at this point yet, advances have been made toward this dream over the past few decades.
Now, research from the University of South Wales in Sydney, Australia, have demonstrated a promising advance in one of the toughest areas of 3D bioprinting, 3D printed bones. They have developed a special ceramic ink that's able to be printed with live cells and without dangerous chemicals at room temperature. The eventual goal is to be able to 3D print bones directly into the cavity of a patient for scenarios in which a certain portion of a bone has to be removed or destroyed.
This is the first technique of its kind to create and construct that actually mimics the physical and biological attributes of the native bone.
This opens up a variety of opportunities, including the repair of large size bone defects in which the body cannot automatically repair itself, where such defects might lead to losing a limb. They can also utilize the technology to generate bone models for scientists for studying bone physiology and pathology, or drug screening for the discovery of new drugs. So far, the team has optimized the printing process, the ink, and the bath in which they create the bone-like structures using living cells, and have printed small bone structures. The next step will involve carrying out small animal trials to see if this can be used to help heal large-size wounds.
The technology allows them to pursue the fabrication of a patient-specific synthetic grafts in the laboratory, which contains all the necessary biological entities of the native bone.
In the long term, they hope to translate the ink and printers directly into operating theaters for bone reconstruction during surgery. A paper describing the work was recently published in the Journal of Advanced Functional Materials. Okay, it's time for another short break.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z,
discover science and
the dinosaur. What's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z.
Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology.
It's fun, you'll see. Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know. Exploring as you go, to know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology. Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology. It's fun, you'll see.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Welcome back. As we mentioned last week, for our quick bite section, we are discussing recent human evolution advances. Last week, we discussed blue-eyed humans all coming to a single genetic mutation and humans' ability to drink milk as adults.
Today, we are discussing teeth. Our ancestors had much bigger jaws than we do, which helped them chew through tough diet of roots, nuts, and leaves. And what meat they ate, they tore apart with their teeth, all of which led to worn-down chompers that needed replacing.
Wisdom teeth. A third set of molars believed to be evolutionary answer to accommodate our ancestors' eating habits.
But today, we have utensils to cut food, our meals are softer and easier to chew, and our jaws are much smaller, which is why the wisdom teeth are often impacted when they come in. There just isn't enough room for them. Unlike the appendix, wisdom teeth have become non-functional.
One estimate says 35% of the population is born without wisdom teeth, and some say they may disappear altogether.
I wish they had disappeared in my mouth. Not only were they impacted, they caused the adjacent molars to start to decay, which led to me having my very first cavities at age 38. My very first fillings.
Yeah, and your wisdom teeth were taken out in a place like the Waldorf Astoria.
I know, because the roots were so close to the main nerves in my jaw, they needed to be surgically removed.
Yeah,
we
had to go to a country club to have them removed.
It's a very nice room. I love that surgery room. So if you're one of the lucky ones born without the gene to grow wisdom teeth, be happy and thankful you can chop away without any adulthood problems.
Chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop.
Well, that brings us to the close of another show. So you can find our shows on the website, MySciencePike.com, and on all podcast platforms.
Joe and I are grateful to our listeners. Our show is now listened to in 23 countries. Besides being available on all podcast platforms, as of this past weekend, we are now available on YouTube. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We really do appreciate it. And we'll be back next Thursday for another new show.